CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor, and I'm joined by Conrad Black, the distinguished biographer, who's helping me understand Canada, our great neighbor to the north, with a border closed. Also with Quebec. Inside Canada, the mystery of the French speakers and politics. But first, Justin Trudeau's government began to outline the conditions for easing travel restrictions at the Canada-U.S. border. This is a Bloomberg report. Intergovernmental Affairs Minister Dominique LeBlanc said that U.S. and Canadian officials are discussing how to move forward with reopening the world's longest international border. I note, according to the Bloomberg reporting, that 40% of Canadians have received a first dose of the vaccine, but only 3% are fully inoculated. Conrad, a very good evening to you. The Canadian-U.S. border is closed. It's very difficult to travel back and forth. What is the expectation? Is there a timeline for when it can be reopened and in a fashion where you don't need to quarantine when you cross? Good evening to you.
Yeah, good evening to you, John. You hear different reports of this. I mean, I am one of the many who are completely shocked at how comprehensive and durable a shutdown has been in most of this country. And we're all pretty impatient about it. Now, my wife, for example, is this week in New York City, and she's coming back in a couple of days. So it can be done, but I mean, she doesn't have a special permit or anything, so it can be done. But it's nonsense, and it's gone on too long. And where the government dropped the ball was on the vaccines. We have a very good record in terms of infection rate and fatality rate. We're low in those, but they somehow mismanaged the task of laying up enough vaccine. And as you, I think you said at the intro, only 40% of the population has been inoculated the first time, and under, I believe, 3% or about 3% is fully vaccinated, two shots. And that is an absolute disgrace. We're about 60th of the countries of the world and behind a number of countries that are, you know, less developed economically, like Costa Rica and Morocco and Turkey. And there's no excuse for that. But the flip side of it is that we do have a good record of low fatalities and relatively few infections. But it's something that's clearly ending in the United States. It's ended in Britain. Britain's wide open. And then here it's pretty much the way it was 6 or 8 months ago, and it won't do at all.
And summer's coming on, and people want to come to Canada because it's gorgeous in the summertime.
Yeah, I think it'll all open up. I think there'll be a lot of easing of things in the next 6 weeks, I would say.
It is wonderful to consider that no matter the pandemic or an asteroid striking Earth, politics continues, which is why I go to your most recent National Post column to read that Quebec's Bill 96 is now being debated and that Premier François Legault is politicking about Quebec. If I understand your column correctly, I wonder at this quote, that the Quebec nationalists are considered, quote, a 10-pound fish on a 5-pound line. They have to be let out slowly and reeled in slowly. Who are the Quebec nationalists who continue to make disorder within the peaceful country of Canada?
Well, to be fair, they're not disorderly. It doesn't get into rioting or kidnappings or anything. I'm not saying it never has. The vice premier of Quebec was murdered in 1970, 52 years ago, and it was a terrible thing. But that's the only, and they let off a couple of bombs prior to that, and one killed a postman. I mean, they were bad things, but we've had maybe 3 or 4 people killed in the whole history of the country on that issue. So you mustn't, and your American fellow citizens mustn't get the idea that they're running a security risk to themselves coming to Canada. That is not the case. It's a very peaceful country. But, this has always been a problem for Quebec. Quebec's a province that has about almost 30% of the population of the country. It's the second largest province after the one that Toronto is in. And 80% of its population is French speaking. And they've always had the concern that because they're a small number of people compared to the whole English-speaking population of the U.S. and Canada combined, that they were in danger of being assimilated, losing their language. And it's complete nonsense. They have a completely viable culture there. They have their own television stations, their own film industry, complete educational system. I graduated from one of the French universities in Canada in Quebec City many years ago. And they're not in any danger of this, but for their own reasons, political parties in office in Quebec, which a province in Canada is like a state in the U.S., only they have rather greater powers. These people periodically say, we're in danger. We have some survey figures here showing that too many of our French Quebec families they're educating their children in English schools, and they're gravitating towards the English-speaking world, which is, all of which is nonsense. The best thing you can be in this country or anywhere is bilingual, other than being trilingual. The more languages you speak, the better. That's one of the things you notice when you go to Europe. But they invoke this to profess to be reinforcing French education and restraining English education. And on its face, it is a gross breach of civil liberties and even an abridgment or encroachment upon freedom of expression, which is guaranteed in the relevant statutes in this country and in every province of this country. And after all, it was what Roosevelt and Churchill agreed to in the Atlantic Charter in Newfoundland before it was part of Canada in 1941 for what we were fighting World War II about. Everyone would have freedom of expression. Well, so you get these absurd rules in Quebec that supermarkets, if they say, you know, oranges, 50 cents, orange has to be written in larger letters. I mean, just stupid things like this. And it's all tokenism for political purposes, but it stirs things up. And you get, on the one hand, people complaining about encroachments on civil liberties. And on the other, these radical French Canadians claiming that if they don't do things like that, they're going to lose their language completely. And overnight, it'll become an all English speaking place, which is, of course, completely absurd. The French have been there speaking French for 400 years. They're not going to cease to be French now, and no one is trying to promote such a fate. But it's rather tiresome, but in a way slightly amusing, political machinations and grandstanding. That's really all it is.
Has the pandemic exacerbated this long-standing cultural dispute, and will the lifting of the pandemic ease it again? We have about a minute.
Well, I think only in the sense, John, that it just generally makes people short-tempered and slightly antisocial. I mean, I think all of us have suffered a bit from having our movements restricted and the ability to go out to dinner reduced and things like that. So it makes people sort of grumpy and edgy a bit. But beyond that, I would say not. I think the government of Quebec and the federal government in this country have had quite similar policies and attitudes to the problem. And so I think it hasn't in itself aggravated this. What's happening is we're coming up to another Quebec election, right, and the Premier Legault sees the opportunity to eliminate one of the political parties. They've got four political parties that are active and represented in the legislature there, which is called the National Assembly, by the way, as in many other things Quebec imitates.
So this is a political, these are a political event during an election period. That forgives almost everything.
That's what it is. And they flourish the right, extravagant French nationalist phrases around, but it's just a lot of hot air.
Thank you, Conrad Black. The column is in National Post, and I will learn more about our neighbor to the north that is considering reopening for summertime. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.